This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Before we start, I also just want to pray a short prayer. Lord, we are here together today to listen to you. It's not about me, it's not about anybody here, it's about you. And I want to pray that, Holy Spirit, that you will talk to each and every one of us and that we will listen to you. Amen. Yeah, as Jaco mentioned, I'm very privileged to be the man, the husband of one wife for almost 40 years now. Hopefully, next year we will have some celebration, if everybody agrees to that, where it will be like a big marriage, not about us, but about the covenant of marriage, because that's what it's all about. We sang the song this morning, Great Are You, Lord, and we also sang, is everything, can you hear me? That I'm going to put it in my own words, whatever all things are to glorify God. And may our relationships be to glorify God, whether it's in marriage, whether it's between friends, in your work, wherever, in church, may we glorify God in everything we do. My first question, I want to start with a question today. And that is, are we serious? Are we, we did mention it in our small group. I've got a, we are part of a very fantastic small group. I love everybody in my small group. And we have very good conversations, open, honest. We challenge each other from time to time. And that's wonderful. And I asked this question Wednesday and typically from most members of our small group, they ask, serious about what? Define what you mean by serious. And if we go to the next slide, that's the basic things. Are we, in the first place, serious about our relationship with God? Everything we do is based on our relationship with God. What is the outcome of our relationship with God? Now, Mike, I've got a couple of questions that I want to ask now before we carry on in this, and that is what the one question I think we need to ask ourselves constantly is, who is my God? And it sounds like maybe a funny question, but how do we define who is my God? Isn't your God be the one that you supposed to be, the one that you live for, that you go for, full out for? That whatever you do is determined by your relationship with Him? And I'm going to ask a couple of very uneasy questions today as we carry on, because I think we need to think about this. I want to touch on basic principles of a relationship in general, and then we go over to marriage. How many people are here that's not married? I just want to see. It's about half, I would say. Okay, but for you, it's also worthwhile thinking about marriage, because you will probably end up in a marriage sometime. So it's not bad to think about that. Tonight, the focus will be more about general relations, and maybe depends on what happens tonight. Before we go further, I want to ask, how many of you received a WhatsApp on Wednesday, Tuesday, asking to pray for today? Very few, which I'm asking the question, who of you are in small groups. Most. Then another question. This is now totally out of order. We ask in the beginning, who's here today for the first time? Who's just visiting here for the first time? Is there anybody that came in after that? Nobody. Okay, that's also good. Because then we can maybe really talk serious about questions we need to ask ourselves. There's no visitors, so we must be open with each other. Now, we sent out a message on Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday, asking for the small groups to pray for today, because it's about relationships. And relationship, first of all, as we said a bit earlier, our first relationship is with God, and out of that will come all our other relationships. Our church is built on relationships. Our marriages are built on relationship. In your family, it's built on relationship. At work. So it's crucial that we understand my part in any relationship. And yesterday was actually, I wished everybody could be there to just go through a couple of very important things where I see in terms of relationships, whether it was more meant for marriages, but I think it will be good for anybody to attend that and experience that. We all know the book or books written by Paul Bevere. Who doesn't know who Paul Bevere is? I mean John Bevere, sorry. There's a Paul Bevere, but he's somebody else. Okay, John Bevere. John and Lisa, have you ever heard their story about their marriage? Who heard that? Except for the people that was here yesterday. Very few. We know Bait of Satan. We know how much that book meant to a lot of us. And his other books that he's written. And if you listen to him and his wife Lisa, that their marriage was almost, well, there was no hope for them. What did he say? After 5 years. No hope. And a lot of things have changed in their marriage and made him the minister, the preacher, the teacher that he is today. And that comes from a marriage that was broken to one that was healed by God. And we need that healing in our relationships. So, without going any further, because a lot of you didn't get the message on Wednesday, I want us to spend 5 minutes by your own. Switch your cell phone on flight mode. Don't look at your cell phone. And we pray for 5 minutes and ask God. And the topics we're going to discuss today is the principles of a relationship, the importance of things to do in a relationship, in different kinds of relationships, and then we look a little bit at marriage itself. And see what we can do and we need to do. So pray about those things. And I want your input. I want your feedback. We're going to ask questions. So without talking too much, just 5 minutes and pray by yourself. Ask God to show you. You can look at that screen. We're going to keep it there. To show you something about that. That we can, at the end of today, understand and that our lives can be changed. I think it's about 5 minutes. Is there anybody that has something to share with the rest of us regarding the importance of relationship with God in our relationships? If not, then I'm going on. About the influence or outcome with our relationship with God. Anybody to share anything to share about that? Okay. There's a mic.
So, I don't know if I understand the question right. Is it anything about the relationship or very specific? Okay. Then I've got 3 things that came to mind. And the first one I find in Romans 12 verse 2. And that is to let God change us so that we can think differently. And from that we can live differently. And concerning relationships, I think the main thing about that would be that if in any relationship we're not there primarily to get but to give, which is totally opposite from the world. And another general thing is from Romans 8 verse 29, to become like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Okay, thanks. Now, I would like somebody to read a scripture for us, because it's a bit long, not that long. I actually wanted to read the whole of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Because if you read the whole of that, you understand so much more of how we need to change our lives to be in line with what God wants us to do. So, but we're going to read it out of 2 Peter 1 from verse 3 to 15. I think it's slide 7 or so, Paul. I'm jumping a little bit around here. I'll tell you now which slide it is. 10, 11, and 12. Can I ask somebody to read that for us?
From verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Since I know the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things.
I just want to point out that I think it's in verse 6, the supplement. A lot of us know what supplement means in terms of sports. Supplement means to enrich something or to make something better. And if you look at that whole scripture, we need to change all the time. Our faith need to be supplemented with those things that's mentioned. We need to come before God and ask him to change us. But at the same time, we need to think about what Paul said to Romans, that Corinthians, that we must run the race with diligence, focus, full out. We must go for the kingdom, for whatever God wants us to do. But you know, our problem is that we are so involved in the world, and this is quite important for our marriages, for any relationship, that we forget this, that Peter wrote here, and we forget a lot of things. Actually, we should read the whole New Testament if we really want to think about it. We can do it every day, I can't do it every day. But I think to read the Old Testament, if you read it every day, should take you about maybe 24 hours or so. You know that if you read the whole Bible, it's supposed to take you about 74 hours. Who knew that? You can read the Bible, the whole Bible, in 74 hours. It's possible. You're not going to focus on things, that's just reading. But if there's one book in the world, that can change your life, it's the Bible. So only by reading it, it can change your life. We need to read it every day. Then these things that Peter wrote about here will become true in our lives. Now, if we look at relationship, I've got a couple of things, and I don't say it's all the things, but I thought of that it's very important for any relationship. And we look at marriage relationships, it's critical. And it's all to do with attitude. And if for those who were here yesterday, what was the attitude, one thing that stood out from John Bevere, John and Lisa, what they realized? It's me who need to change, not him or her. In any relationship, it's me that need to change. I need to do what God tells me to do. What the other person do is his problem, not mine. If we look at marriage a little bit later on, we often hear that it's a 100%, 100% relationship. It's not a 50-50. Have you heard that before? We'll get to that a little bit later. Okay. First of all, our attitude must be the one, it's slide four, Paul. If you stand, therefore, whoever thinks he is standing securely should watch out so he doesn't fall. So if we are in any relationship, and I'm standing, I'm strong, don't be arrogant about it. You need to read that part below. I'm not going to read it loud, but we need to get before God about this and ask him to change my heart that I don't think I'm better than others when I stand. I might be strong in something, but somebody else is strong in something else. And I might be weak, and I need to be prayed for so that I don't fall, because I can. I'm a human being, sinful human being, and I need Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit to work in my life every day. If we go to the next one, value others. Now you will notice that a lot of this come out of what we went through on Encounter 1, Encounter 2, Legacy. What's the others? I always forget the names. But a lot of this, we get this teaching, we get these teachings in Bible school and in our Encounter 1, Encounter 2. But how does it change our lives? Do we get on our knees every day and ask God to change my life so that I can be the better partner, if I can call it that, in any relationship? I need to value others. This is something that comes out of Legacy. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others better than yourselves. Actually, that's one of the questions that they ask in Legacy. See yourself not as better than others. Think of others as important or even more important than yourself. Because then, if I'm in a relationship, my attitudes towards the other person will change. I will realize it's not about me. It's about what I have to do in this relationship. Change my heart. I'm going to refer a lot to that all the time. And we need to ask ourselves those questions. And the third one is never judge. Have you ever been in this church where somebody said to you, but the leadership is so, they did this, or they must do that, or whatever, or this guy, how can he be a Christian if he do that? We judge people all the time. I'm guilty about that, and I don't know how many of you are guilty about that, but I know I am. So the moment, and we know that thing about pointing to somebody, three fingers points to yourself. This is the scripture that actually proves it's right. If I say somebody's doing something, three fingers point to myself. I am just as guilty or even more guilty than that person. And I'm not going to read the scripture. You can write it down for those that's got pens here. So we need to look at the logs in our own eyes before we try to take out the specks in the others. Then we're going to get to a couple of basics. In relationships. Slide 9. I'm jumping around a lot. And what I want to do here is, even what I've said just now, we've prayed. We've given you 5 minutes to pray. We've given some people a couple prayed from Wednesday till today. So if you have something to add, feel free to put up your hand and say, I've got something to share regarding this. This is a kind of an interactive service. So far, not much of it, but I want your input. Thanks.
So just something that God is just showing me about relationships is, I think relationships that we sometimes don't acknowledge as being that, or something that we need to invest in, is relationships with unsaved people. And what he showed me about that is that from our side, we need to still apply godly principles, that the love there should still be unconditional, regardless of their response or their reciprocation or lack of reciprocation. What Anton said as well about enduring, being steadfast in that, whether we get back or we don't. And just putting this is in general, but also looking at unsaved the relationship with unsaved people, is that, to put others' needs above our own and above our own comfort as well. We can love them because we were first loved. And as Jesus said, the new commandment, he gives us to love others as he has loved us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I do only think of that in relationships that I have with people that also know that that is the way it should be, not necessarily with those who don't understand, who don't know. So, just something to think about.
Thanks, Elnay, because I forgot the Lord also showed me something about unsaved people, and he gave me this verse, Colossians 4 verse 5, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. And another thing, I think it's important to the Lord because he gave that to me as well, is in Philippians 2 verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others.
Okay, thank you very much. If you look at slide 9, my idea with this is we need to look at the basics. We've already mentioned some of this. We've done, and you'll see that part that we've done legacy, and Yaku and myself had much the same, and I think Sean as well, we had a little bit of a talk afterwards last Sunday, and we realized that if we go through that once, it's good, but sometimes you forget that, and it's like you go on with your life, and you don't, you tend to forget some of those things that you learned. And if we attend that from time to time, or get involved and help other people to attend it, and share, and grow. This was it Gilly that preached a couple of weeks ago that he said that God know or knew that he had to teach so that he can get closer to God. I think it was him that said that. And if we get involved in sharing the gospel, helping people, the one who benefits not the most, but just as much as the person who's been counseled or sermon to, is you that's giving that to that person. Isn't that true? If you go on a mission, I think the people who are on missions will come back and tell you that they've actually experienced much more of God and these closeness and these comfort and whatever than the people they minister to. Well, maybe not, but that's, you experience something if you get involved. So we need to get involved. It's easy to sit back and listen and come to church or go to a small group and go back and nothing happens. We just carry on with our lives. And I want to get on to the next topic where we talk specifically about communication, forgiveness, and the two trees that came out of, that's part of our legacy. We all know about the two trees in the Garden of Eden. And the important thing for me that struck me out of that was the attitude. And we need to change our attitudes to the one that's all about life, not about knowledge, because knowledge brings death and destruction, if I can put it that way. But life is a relationship with God. That was the difference between Cain and Abel. We remember that from that teachings. We need to read what I mentioned there below, the Sermon on the Mount, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians, and about love. Think about this part that we read from 2 Peter. He mentioned a lot of things that we need to change, but where does it come from? From the teaching of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. Fruit of the Spirit, Galatians, and love from John. Our hearts, my heart, need to change so that that will be a testimony of a living relationship with God. And that needs to go into my relationships. And then if we go to the, we're going to get a little bit more practical now about the marriage. All of us, and I'm going to throw something in that's not supposed to be part of marriage. Well, it's part of marriage. But I want to challenge, who's got young kids? Young kids is any kid below 10. Younger than 10. You know what we do with our kids? And I'm talking about communication here. We tend in the recent days so busy with our jobs, so busy with whatever we do that we want to have kids, but we sort of put them aside. We give them the technology to play with. We give them videos to keep them quiet. How often do we see that when you get to people talking or people just having a good parents sharing a braai, and you will see the kids watching TV. And what do they watch? Often we will see that they watch, I'm not going to give the names of some of the programs I know of, but you need to think and pray about the things that you allow your little kids to see. That has an impact and an influence on their relationships later in life, especially the relationship with God. You watch your kids and they get nightmares and you wonder where it comes from. But what characters do they see on that kiddie programs? Or they get aggressive or they get whatever. And you don't understand where it comes from. But what do you do with your kids? You allow them to watch the things. This is just a sideline. let's get to the relationship between the husband and wife, because that is crucial for us to understand and to have a healthy relationship. Healthy marriages will have a result of a healthy church in a big way. They are not everybody is married, but that is the platform. And we want to go on to that, and I want to ask you to think about the points that we've mentioned so far. I haven't mentioned forgiveness. That's also part of what we learn in legacy. Forgiveness means to forget. And part of forgiveness is to understand the other person's language. We often carry on by ourselves. We've got different personalities, and that is the next point I want to touch on. We often, because of our background, we come from different cultures, if I can call it that, different families. If I can give you an example from my own marriage, I come out of a family where when there's a meeting, the more the merrier. The more people come in, the happier everybody is, and everybody is like enjoying their time because there are more people. Ida comes out of a family where when there's a meeting, her own family will sit in a group by themselves, not mingling. So for her and me, there's a challenge already because she came from that background. Then she's got a different personality than me. There's challenges. So if you go into a marriage, we've got a lot of baggage, if I can call it that, we get into this marriage. It might be that we were very fortunate that we came out of relative stable homes where our parents went to church and they do the right things according to the world. But as I want to say Paul Bevere again, said the what they had in their family is Lisa's family. I think he said that they didn't quarrel, but they don't talk. They never sorted out issues. On his side, they sorted out issues. So you come out of different families with different background, and you now get together, and you must make it to work. So it's a bit of a challenge. It's not a bit of a challenge. It's a huge challenge. Because to understand the other person is not always easy. And we know that. We are in a marriage now for almost 40 years, and we discuss marriage all the time. We say to each other what we've achieved and what we've not achieved. And if we listen again to what we heard yesterday, marriage doesn't mean to live with each other for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. There are more than that. And I think what we want for marriage is to have more than that. And to get more than that, what do we need to do? We need to get back to the scriptures that we read for basic relationships. And what's in a relationship? What we said is forgiveness and communication. We had a session yesterday about communication where it's a bit of a humanistic thing, but it fits into scripture, is to listen to the other person, to understand the other person, to know what that person wants, not what I want for that person. In a marriage, that's even more critical, because I can carry on with my life, and I can live my own life without getting involved in my wife's life or acknowledge her or whatever. And there's small things. And I'm going to mention a couple of that. But before we get that, there are two. Paul, if we can go to slide 18. I'm jumping around a lot here. There are a primary purpose of marriage, according to the scriptures, is God established marriage as a covenant, not a contract. Malachi 2, verse 14, and Proverbs 2, 16, 17. And then it's important to understand the difference between these two. A covenant is based on trust between parties. A covenant based on trust between parties. A contract is based on distrust. A covenant is based on unlimited responsibility. A contract is based on limited liability. A covenant cannot be broken if new circumstances occur. A contract can be voided by mutual consent. Marriage, as God intended it, models what should be our relationship with God. So if I'm in a covenant with God and I'm in a covenant with my wife, there's no end to that. We often hear that people say when they stand and the day they get married, they say forever. We will be till death do us part together. But how do I actually see that? How do I actually live that? In every little thing that I do to my wife, towards my wife, how do I express that? Do I really value her? Do I really let her feel? I think John's wife, Lisa, was worried that he's going to, her pastor got divorced, and she was always afraid that he's going to divorce her sometime, until the point where he said to her, I'm never, ever going to divorce you. But we tend, even Christians tend to think in the back of our heads, there's an option out maybe. Or when it gets difficult, it's easy to get out. It's 100% commitment. 100% commitment. I'm going to give you an example. I wanted to give it a little bit earlier, and then I said I'm going to say it later. If we are in a situation where I feel my wife is unreasonably angry with me because I did something, and I did nothing wrong. According to many people, I did nothing wrong. It's normal. But for her, it's not right. I mean, she doesn't feel she's important, or she doesn't feel I'm with her, or she doesn't feel I give attention to her. I'm going to take an example of a very touchy subject, watching rugby or soccer. And your wife has got the desire to have a special time with you somewhere. Are you willing to say, I'm not owing to her, even going to look on my cell phone all every 5 minutes what the score is? For me, the Formula One is that challenge. And a little bit of cricket and a little bit of rugby, but some others are about soccer or whatever other sport. But am I willing to put that thing down, put my phone off, put it somewhere? Like, that's why I like the idea of a cell phone box at the door in the house. If we can get to that point, that is one of the biggest marriage killers, I believe, my personal opinion, in our life today. Technology. Because technology is always in our face. And for men it's easy, because men are not as emotional as women. I need to be, as a man, what the woman, what she does to let me do that things, that's what she needs to sort out with God. What I need to do is say, whatever, my marriage is more important than sport. Am I willing to do that? And this is a challenge. This is a big challenge. Is my marriage, we all need to work. We all need to have an income. But you can drive that, and I know that because I am probably one of the most guilty persons if it comes to that. And I can admit that before everybody here, because I do that quite often. I can work 16 hours a day. Is that right? But what am I going to do about it today? Am I going to say, commit to my wife? Today is the day that it's changing. Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to say to my wife, if the guys are watching rugby on Saturday, you want to go away for the weekend, I'll go away with you. Or soccer or cricket or whatever. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to break with the things of this world to spend that special time with the one that you committed, that you're going to stay with for the rest of your life? And I'm talking out of my heart now, and I think you can hear that. This is not scripture. This is practical things that we can do in any marriage. If I'm not willing to change, I'm going back to what we heard yesterday, some of the ones that we were with us today, yesterday. If I'm not willing to change, how can I expect to have a happy marriage? We have issues like even depression. Can I mention a little bit of that? You know, almost 40 years ago, I actually convinced Ida that she loves me. I'm serious. This is serious. She was so unsure of herself, and that's because of her personality. And I am being the positive and whatever. I had to convince her that she loves me so that she could marry me. I had to live with the consequences of that for 30 years. So, according to Ida, we are married about 10 years. According to me, we married for 40 years. Why? Because I forced her into something she wasn't ready for at that stage. It's by the grace of God that we are still married today. And one of the things that I think was bait of Satan. At some stage, and that's why I wanted to ask her if it's fine, depression is the sickness of our time. And what I'm saying now is not, I'm not going to say it's, we all know there are different reasons for depression. My wife was healed from depression. I don't say she's got nothing left of that. But at some stage, we can share at a later stage about some details about what we went through in the 40 years that we were married. But at some stage, she took a job, also because I actually wanted her to take the job, and she did. And that job put so much pressure on her that she had to use medicine. And at some point, I just said to her, you know what? I'd rather take your ups and your downs, your extreme anger, depression, than living with, living with a zombie. Because that's what some of the some of the medicine do that to you, and the medicine that she used did that. And then at some point she went with two of her sisters that the one sister wanted her to take some more medicine, and the other one said, no, we need to pray about this. And that was, they prayed about that, and I can't remember the details. I don't know if you want to quickly share about that. Not. You can. But that's why where it changed. And in that time, from that was about 10 years ago, I think. And that's where I got her, my wife.
Okay, what happened in 2008? Both my sisters love me a lot, and my one sister made for me appointments for 5 days with her psychologist and 1 day with her psychiatrist. But Anton and I, we weren't very positive for me to go back on antidepressants. And at that time, I had a very bad right shoulder. I could lift my arm up to here, and the psychiatrist actually described my situation that OCD means to be blind. You see things differently from other people, and what the antidepressants do, they help you handle the consequences of your problem, not the problem itself. And then the psychiatrist, they describe medicine, and like Anton, I don't say nobody must take that medicine, but I really didn't want to. And my other sister and I, we asked God for a sign. I asked him, if he knows my shoulder, that will be the sign that he will heal my depression and I needn't get the medicine. And the next morning when we got up, I was able to raise my arm up to here. And I thought, it's better, but I'm not healed, so what now? So my sister took my prescription, and she went to the pharmacy, and to the next pharmacy, and to the next one, and she couldn't find those antidepressants in Pretoria. And then we had another night of prayer. And the next morning, until this day, I can lift up my right hand as well. And the Lord is still working with me, but He has been healing me for the past 10 years. And that all started with forgiveness. Yeah.
And deepness. And obviously, you know, it was the person she had to forgive was myself, most of all people. And you can imagine that. So I want to say one of the words that we sang this morning, great are you, Lord. You bring hope. There's hope for every relationship. There's hope for every marriage. There's hope for every sickness, depression. I said that again, Ida said that. We don't say leave your medicine. We say pray about it. And remember, God can heal it. God can give us happy marriages. What is our next step? Our next step for every marriage is, and that is the secondary. Paul, my papers are now so messed up here. I think it's slide 19. Secondary purpose of marriage. And this is where we need to work at. And I'm going to say again, it's not a 50-50. It's a 100%, 100% partnership. Only then. And it's work. It doesn't happen. It's not like, you know, at some stage, Ida said to me, and maybe some of you others heard it as well from your wives, you know, now that we're married, it's as if you have me and you carry on with your life and I'm sitting here and you know you don't care about it anymore. We as men need to be sensitive. And some of us have personalities that actually we need to pray a lot to be more sensitive because we it's not part of our framework. Companionship. This is the affection, love, and true companionship which grow out of oneness of spirit as each partner models Christ's unconditional love. Enjoyment. The physical relationship is a reflection of the loyalty and affection shared among marriage partners who have become one flesh. You understand what that means? Good. Fruitfulness. So within the marriage, we need to enjoy each other. We need to have companionship. Protection, and this is for men. Your wife needs to be protected. Whether she's a, you get some women that's businesswoman that's very strong, but actually they're not very strong because God made us different. God made the man to protect the woman. Do you know that? You know it, but some know it. I realized it only recently. In the 7 days of creation, everything God said, it was good, it was good, it was good. Until with the man, he said, he needs somebody. He needs a woman. That was not good. I mean, the fact that he needs a woman is good, but the fact that he was without a woman was not good. So God created us man and wife. That's how we create. That's what the normal marriage is. And we know how what is the world doing now with homosexuality, same-sex marriages and all of that. We can just read the Bible and understand there's a special relationship between a husband and a wife. That's how God intended it to be. It's very special. We need to think about this, read this, and remember it. The last slide I want to show you is, we can actually just show quickly 20. I've went through most of this in terms of what we went through, in terms of what a lot of you probably went through. But the last verse, the last slide is the one, 21. I want us to think about this, to pray about this, and to think about my own life. I need to listen. Listen to God, listen to my spouse, listen to my friends. This can be overall. But I need to remember, it's me who need to change. Not my wife, not my husband, me. I need to listen. I need to learn to communicate in a way the other person can understand. Am I willing to do that? And I want to ask the question that I asked in the beginning. Am I serious? I ask this to myself, and I think we can all ask this to myself. Am I serious in my relationship with my wife, with my husband, in the first place with God? Because that will change my relationship. Not that, him, he will change my relationship. All my relationships. And you know, we often hear that. But you know who doesn't want this? We often refer to the enemy that wants to break down the things that God sees as and wants as important in our lives, important for him. And you know that the people, the leaders, are those who he will target first, because if he can break down the leaders, he can break down the churches. If we are serious about this, we will pray for our leaders every day. Every day. And we won't criticize them. We won't judge them. If we talk, we go with a spirit of love, of care. And that is the same that we want in our marriages. What I want to do today is, if the married couple, everybody that's married, your husband and your wife might not be here, but the married couples, I want all the unmarried people to go and stand with a married couple or married person, and we pray for that person. And specifically for our leaders. We need to pray for Yaku and Philip with their wives. We need to pray for the leaders like, I know I don't get onto the names, but in any case, the leadership of the church, we need to pray for them. If we don't do it, we are the ones that's getting vulnerable. We open up ourselves for the enemy. So can I ask that the married people just show your hands and let couples sit with each other, and the unmarried people just move around and just pray for the couples. And then after that, I think you can do the music in the meantime in the background. But if there are anybody here today, you need And I'm going to say something very radical now. If you need prayer for your marriage, and it's not a shame, I can tell you we need prayers. We need it. Because we are growing all the time. I'm only married for 40 years. I don't know how many more I will get. But I want the next 20 or 30 to be better than the 40 that's behind us. That's why we attend marriage enrichment at after 40 years, because we always can learn more. There's always more to learn. There's always something that people can pray for you. If you have a specific issue like depression, and I'm thinking of that today because depression is a killer in a marriage. Ask me, I know. Ask some others in this church, they know. We need to pray for you. If you've got depression, let us pray for you. It's not a shame. It's not a shame to be prayed for whatever problem you have. God can free us from any problem we have. Let us pray. Married couples, hands in the air, married people.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.